I'd like to read with you in the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 103. Verse 13. Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Now the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he, this is referring to the Lord Jesus, and it is, of course, the misunderstanding that people had as to why Jesus died. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And just one more reading, please, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Now, Mr. Oliver has been helpfully presenting to us the fatherly nature of the Lord Jesus, that particularly in his coming kingdom, he will be a father to his people, a father to those who are saved. That just allows me to look very simply at these three wonderful similes that we have read in the Word of God. We have read as a father, and as a lamb, and as a shepherd. And that's going to allow us three cameos, three different views of this blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. As a father pities his children. That's his compassion, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And I think that perhaps it would be best to just illustrate that from two views of a father and son relationship that are in the Word of God. We often call the parable in Luke chapter, part of the parable of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. That's probably a misnomer because it's actually written from the father's viewpoint. It doesn't start off with a certain son had a father, but a certain man had two sons. And right throughout the parable, it's presenting to us the viewpoint of the father. And so it really is the parable of the compassionate father. And when I think about the prodigal and his father, I'm looking at the first hand, on the one hand, of forgiveness and well-wishing on the part of the father. That's what was in his heart. Whereas the boy was marked by folly and waste when he went and blew through his inheritance in a far-off country. It was intentional. The prodigal went where he wanted to go, and he did what he wanted to do. The father did not chase him away. The father didn't say, I don't want you here in the house anymore. Go off into the far-off land and lead a profitable get life and blow through your inheritance. This was all on his part. And our condition, I think this is an important thing for us to grasp, the condition in our world and the condition very often in our lives of unrest and turmoil and confusion and darkness about the future, that is all a result of our willful choice in having turned from God. It's not God's plan. It was never God's purpose that we would live in a world of death and sorrow and tears. It was when our racial father, Adam, and Eve, when they turned away from God, they opened the door to allow sin to come into what God had created as a paradise. And as a result of that, we live in a world where sin is at work. And tragically, we are the kind of people in whose heart sin is at work. This was intentional. The boy was taking his own course. And actually, we read, didn't we, from Isaiah chapter 53, we have turned everyone to his own way. We've taken our own course in life. Those courses may differ. And there may be people that I would look at tonight and I would say, I would never want to live the way she's living. I would never want to live the way he's living. And at the very point that I'm looking at others and castigating them, I could be marked by self-righteousness and pride and arrogance and be totally unaware of that. But we all have turned to our own way. Now you will remember that it was suicidal, wasn't it? Suicidal. He was perishing, and his danger as well as his condition was the result of his own choices. There were no famines. There were no famines in the Father's house. He is the one who picked up and left and took a course that was going to kill him. So we find the Lord Jesus, the master, a preacher, with consummate ability, just with a few words, draws us the sketch. And to a Jewish hearer in the audience, nothing could be lower than a Jewish boy ending up feeding pigs, what they considered unclean animals. The boy's course was going to kill him. It was suicidal. Not all that long ago, I read what I thought was a very fascinating book. Its title was Buried in Ice. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sir John Franklin expedition of 1845. It was an expedition from England, and it came to Canada, and they were searching for a Northwest Passage. And just as an aside, one of the great tragedies of it was that if you were on the dock when they were loading the ships, you would see the wonderful china settings that were being loaded, and the massive books, the library that was being loaded, and the organs for music that was being loaded, and many other delicacies. There just were no provisions to face a harsh Canadian winter. And as you know, those two ships, the Erebus and the Terror, they disappeared, along with the 129 men that were on those two ships. They weren't Eskimos, but you're in the Arctic area, and so it may be that that's how they are best described. And they talked about this group of white men that were bizarrely wandering on the ice, like you'd be walking down Main Street and Broad Street in Philadelphia, just wandering on the ice. And for many years, no one really knew what was it that killed those people. 129 men, gone. The ships crushed in the ice, gone. That book was written by an anthropologist and his associate, and they were able to exhume from the frozen ice. They were able to obtain the bodies of some of those sailors. And do you know what they found? Lead poisoning. Lead poisoning. Because back in the 1800s, tin cans were sealed by solder. And they had brought 8,000 tins of food with them. Lead poisoning not only has an effect on you physically, but mentally. The inability of making sane choices, of thinking logically. It weakens your immune system, so that there were people, as the log that they found showed, that and the fact that they had to let some men off the ship in other parts, that people were becoming ill before the ship actually reached Canada, and it is because of lead poisoning. So think now, just take a step back and think that they were carrying with them the very thing that was killing them. And they didn't even know it. There's something that's killing you tonight. It's going to destroy your life. It's going to ruin your eternity. It's working in my heart, it's working in your heart. And it's called sin. And Christ came because he knew that. And he came to provide a way that you could be saved from yourself, saved from your sin, saved from the judgment that those sins deserve, and saved from eternity to which those sins were taking you. Now, when you look at that prodigal, please notice, That course he took, it was correctable, for lack of a better word. There was a way back. There was a way back. What did he have to do? Exactly what Mr. Oliver has referred to just as he was closing his message. Did you hear him talk about repenting? Did you hear him talk about the need that we have to change our mind and agree with God? There had to come a point where that prodigal son had to change his mind. When he left home, his thoughts were, that's where happiness is to be found, that far off land. If I could put miles between dad and me, and I'm on my own, and I have my own boss, and I'm in charge, and I make the decisions, I will have a wonderful life. And there came a point where, in his own words, he said, back home, the hired servants can't even eat all the food that is served to them. And I'm perishing with hunger here. I'm going back. So now it was his responsible to go back. But he couldn't just go in. You remember the story, don't you? He was responsible to go back, but he was going to go in. That was in the hands of his father. The father could have met him on the road and said, no, stop, please stop. You've wasted your inheritance. You've disgraced my name. You have been an absolute hardy to me. You cannot come any further. Instead, the fatted calf is killed. And the father brings the boy in and pours on him all the blessings of his compassionate heart. What's the Lord Jesus telling us about? He's telling us that you and I need to turn from our sins. And he is telling us that at Calvary, Christ has provided a way for you to be brought back to God, for you to be brought into heaven. And there is a way back. We often sing it with children. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. You can come tonight to the Lord Jesus, and he says, the person who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The prodigal and his compassionate father. But think about King David and his son Absalom. And you'll see love instead of hatred. Now, I'll just take those three things again. First of all, what happened between David and Absalom was intentional. It was all on Absalom's part. The enmity was all in Absalom's heart. Just as all the distance between that father and that son of his was the prodigal's doing, all the enmity that existed between David and Absalom was Absalom's doing. David didn't hate Absalom, but Absalom hated his father. And the Bible uses very strong language to tell us what has happened to us. It tells us that sin has alienated us from God, that it has estranged us. I've sat with a couple that were alienated, that were estranged. And there's something that's come between. And there's this to be said about human interaction. There's always two sides to a story. My wife's not always the one that's wrong. In fact, for the most part, she's the one who's usually always right. But there's two sides to a story. And both sides share blame. But not this way. There's no blame on the part of God. All the blame is ours. All the enmity is in our heart. Sin is not something like a cold that you just catch. Adam didn't just suddenly come down with sin and it caught him like, where did I get this flu? He chose to sin against God. Now, it was suicidal with Absalom as well. The enmity was there because Absalom wanted the glory that his father David had. He wanted the throne. Now, does that ring any bells in your mind? You remember how Lucifer became the devil. He wanted the throne that the Lord Jesus had. Do you remember why Adam sinned? What did the serpent say to Eve? You'll be like God. You'll be like God. You will climb if you just take things into your own hand instead of listening to what God says. You see, when God warns us about sin, when he tells us that sin is wrong, he's not trying to protect something about him. If you were walking your dog, everybody should have a dog. If you were walking your dog and you saw a sign, keep off the grass, what is the sign? The owner wants to protect something that belongs to him. And he doesn't want you trespassing and damaging something that belongs to him. So he's saying, keep out, keep off. But if you were deep in the woods and you came across a substation, And you saw the fence all around it and the barbed wire on top and the sign that said, "Keep out, high voltage." Now that sign is there not because the utility company wants to protect something it has. It's trying to keep you from being harmed. It's trying to protect you. Now God's commandments that we have been reminded about, those commandments weren't supposed to protect God. As if, now listen, you can't cross the, it will hurt me very much, and I don't want to lose anything, so follow these commandments. It wasn't, they're not there to protect God. They're there to protect you and me. Because God knows sin kills. It's a suicidal force. Wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. God is speaking, but it's under the garb of wisdom. Wisdom calling the people to come and learn from her. And it's God calling to men to obtain wisdom from him. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you remember what wisdom says? All those who hate me love death. All those who hate me love death. And when we oppose God and we imagine that somehow we will be far better if we do what we want to do, we're on a fatal suicidal course. Now here's the difference. With Absalom, it was never corrected. The enmity that was in his heart led to his death. He was never reconciled to David. He actually came back, but unlike the prodigal, he didn't come back to say, "I have sinned." He came back to take his father's throne and to kill his father. Now you see, you and I can never be saved without repenting. And I would just like to once more remind you of what Mr. Oliver brought so skillfully before us at the beginning of the meeting. God never saves good people. Because there are no good people. God saves sinners. And nobody ever becomes saved unless she or he comes to God as a helpless sinner and trusts Christ. As a father pities his children. As a lamb. Now we're looking at the cross. And we're reminded of what this blessed Savior did so that you could be saved. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Those are harsh words, aren't they? There's a great contrast here because he was the spotless and unblemished Lamb of God. Remember Peter in the New Testament writing, he was a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's not just heaping words. That is neither interior or exterior, neither inside or outside, without blemish on the inside, without spot on the outside. He was God's perfect lamb. And he went to the cross like a lamb. Here, you and I, we had gone astray, Isaiah says, like sheep we had gone astray. But the Lamb of God, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. His sacrificial offering of himself at the cross involved this. He had come to put away sin. The big word for that is expiation. He was going to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he was going to exchange himself for me by taking my judgment account. I don't know how aware you are. I was not aware of this until I read the account. But this is how the airlines work. If you're a pilot, you pick a route. You go online, you sign in on your account. You see where the planes are flying from where you live, or where your airline, of course, is flying. You pick a route. You submit your name. Now, that route is yours unless an officer with more seniority, pilot with more seniority, bumps you. So, Steve Scheidner sat down at this computer. LA, good. Put his name in. Went out and mowed the lawn. Came in at night and thought, I'll just check to see if I'm still on in the morning. He's bumped. A senior officer, Pilot Tom McGinnis, had bumped him. So, you wait, do another flight. That was 9:10, the next day was 9:11. The flight was American Airlines Flight 11. Steve Scheidner was supposed to be on that plane. I knew people who were on that plane. Nobody survived that plane. That was the first to crash into the World Trade Center. And later that day, when he realized, he went online and he looked up his flight. And I hope this never, I hope these words never appear on any flight that you're on. But the words he saw, he stared at his screen. Sequence failed continuity. There's those three words. Sequence failed continuity, which means the plane never got to the destination. And he heard the news. And he realized. Now, let me give you his words. This is what he said. I packed my bags to go on that trip. Words can't describe the feeling of knowing that you should have been someplace like that and someone else was there instead of you. I can look and see my smoking hole. It was on national TV. I can see where I should have died, but I didn't. What I know is that somebody died in my place. Not once, but twice. So he wrote his book, and he titled it, In My Seat. And he said, somebody died in my place not once, but twice. Because Steve says at Calvary, Jesus died in my place. That's why I'm going to be in heaven. I deserve to be in hell. If God gave me my deserts, if he gave me what justice would require, I should go to hell. But on the 10th of July, 1966, I discovered that Jesus died for me. And I trusted him as my Savior. And because of what he did, I'm going to be in heaven, because he went like a lamb to the slaughter for me. And did you notice the people in Isaiah 53 coming to that understanding? When they said, we thought he was a blasphemer. We thought God smote him for his blasphemy. But, no, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And with his stripes, we're healed, we're saved. They discovered what I'm telling you, what Steve Scheider is talking about. Jesus died for me. Now, I don't have time to look at the third, but I hope that you will come tonight to understand that the Lord Jesus came all the way from heaven because of the love of his heart for you. And he allowed himself, he was the omnipotent God. He allowed himself to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, to suffer for you so that you would never have to suffer in hell. And for you to go to heaven instead of hell, the Bible says you need to turn to him and trust Christ as your Savior. I knew about him all my life. I never trusted him for salvation until that July night. You may know all about him, and you may know all of the facts that the Bible talks about Calvary, but God is calling on you to trust Christ for your salvation.